Just that day of quitting and going to the coach and telling him, I'm done. Like, I remember he was like, what? Like, you're like one of three people on a scholarship. What are you talking about? You're going to be a starter next year. Like, just get through freshman year. And I was like, fuck no, I'm out. I don't care. I was like, you give me $1 million and I'm leaving. Like, I don't care. And that liberation that I felt, oh my God, I'll never forget. I was like high for like 2 months. It felt like, because I experienced so low that like when I felt normal or above, holy shit, like it was just enlightened.
Freedom.
And it was inner peace. That's what it truly was. You gotta get them all out now. All right.
you know that movie?
Steve Carell and
Jim Carrey. The one where he's Bruce Almighty.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then Steve Carell's the anchorman, right?
Yeah.
Or the guy, and he's like,
Jesse James West, thank you very much for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Enjoying Dubai?
I'm loving it.
Since you've got here, I've been watching you. You've been doing something every single day. You've been nonstop.
Yeah, we're quite psychopaths over here.
Yeah. And even yesterday we filmed a video. That was very fun. That'll be on your channel.
Yeah.
Very soon. It's actually very interesting for me to watch you work even just looking at some of your stats recently, in the past month, I think you gained 120,000 subscribers.
Yeah, dude, that's insane.
Is that pretty normal for you as well?
Lately, it's not like abnormal, but I guess it's kind of like becoming a normal, which is wild, man.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was looking at mine and mine said 10,000. I was like, well, I need to...
Hey, as long as you're growing, I mean, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I've been growing okay. I go through phases, but watching other people who are really killing it, I think you are one of the people at the moment on YouTube who's definitely killing it.
Thank you.
There's a lot for me to learn. So I'm curious to know, how did it all begin? Because I know you, but I don't know you that well. Mm-hmm. So take me back to your earlier years when you were a teenager and how you got started in this.
Oof. Okay. So I was 16 years old when I first started my fitness channel. And like fitness Instagram. It was more Instagram at first because I was playing sports. I was playing lacrosse from age 11 all the way to like 20. And so I was in the midst of getting ready to go to college to play lacrosse. So that was like my life, like every single day. As much as I was bodybuilding and working for content right now, I was doing sports. And I was going to go to college on like had a scholarship and everything. But I always wanted to do the fitness influencing. I probably watched you and was like, I wish I was doing what he's doing. And like shred. I know I did watch. I remember I was watching you and I think.
What was the first video?
I think I vividly remember. I think it was you and Joe Delaney. Have you collabed with him?
Yeah.
Doing something about like lighting and like lights coming on the side abs or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then also.
I think that was Matt.
Was it Matt?
Yeah. It was
okay. Matt. I remember it was like how to like take a good photo something, and I'm like researching how to get started and stuff. And then I also remember you did a video where you like tested your like muscle mass and you found out one arm is like bigger than the other.
Yeah,
and you compared it to a sweet potato. I'm pretty sure.
No, that wasn't me.
No? I think you were like, it's like 230 grams. Like it's like basically a whole, I don't know if I'm making things up, but it was like 200 something grams larger on one side.
Yeah.
So I was very inspired by people like you doing the fitness vlogging, workouts, how-tos, all that stuff. But I was still stuck in this like sports realm and like this like school realm. And so I was just posting on Instagram because I wasn't good at editing YouTube videos, and I still was like, I didn't understand it. You know, I just thought, okay, I guess I'll make a how to get big biceps like 5-minute talking video and like, you know, those like do well for certain people and stuff. But for me, it was just like literally just an iPhone. And I'm like, you guys need to curl. You need to supinate. You need to do this. And it's like, you get like 100, 200 views or something. But for a long time, you know, I wasn't really getting any views, any traction. All my followers were just from lacrosse because I had a lacrosse page as well. And I built that with my best friend. And we got to like, I think I got to like 20K on Instagram through that and also just being known in the lacrosse world because it's very small. Mm-hmm. It's like super, super niche. And having like 20K in like the lacrosse world is probably, I was like top 5 lacrosse influencer. Like it's so small. It's crazy. Like the 20K, like that's good for, obviously that's not bad, but like I was like, how am I most known in the industry? It's crazy. But it wasn't fulfilling to me enough. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to transfer my way into the fitness world. But it was really hard because, you know, when you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to figure it out, and the hardest part is getting off the ground and doing it. And if you're not putting all your effort into it, it's like, how the hell do you get started?
Yeah.
You know? And like, what were you doing during, that was like 2016, 2017, where you were on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd just started 2017 is when for me, I kind of blew up.
Okay.
Because even in 2016, I, similar position to you, I didn't really know what direction to go in because I'd seen a lot of YouTubers who do the vlogs. And I was like, well, maybe I have to do the vlogs as well. But at that point in time, my life was not very interesting and I was not very good on camera. So I was trying a few different things. And then I think it was like the 20th video. It just popped off. It got like 100,000 views randomly. I was like, yo. And I was trying to figure out, well, why is this video performing so well? And it was an education video. So it was, I think it was like the common mistakes people make when training shoulders.
Okay.
So when that video did well, I was like, okay, well, maybe we want to see more of the educational style videos. So that's basically what I started doing from that point on. And then the momentum just grew from there.
Yeah. And that's kind of like how I was beginning. Like the whole, if you look back at my channel, like the first 30 videos are just all how to's, and like they get a few thousand views like once in a while, like how to bench press. Like I remember that was like the first one to get like 4,000 views. And, but then I went from, you know, posting here and there while I was in high school and I was growing a lot, like muscle wise, like everyone thought I was on gear. Like I just had fantastic genetics to just put a lot of muscle on really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like by 16, I swear to God, I was like the same size as I am now. Like obviously I was smaller, obviously, like by like probably 15 pounds of muscle or 20 pounds maybe. But for some reason, like I look back, I'm like, how the hell was I 16 there? So I knew I had the potential like in the fitness industry because like I'm 16. I look like I'm 20, like muscular wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm strong. I know I'm not. I know I have the look and like I have potential to do it. Now I just need to figure out how the hell to do it. And I knew that when I had the opportunity and it finally came, because I always believed that it would. Like I didn't doubt it. I just knew like one day it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't give up. And I knew that when I finally had that flip of the switch and it turned on and then the views start coming in, you know, people start getting inspired and like wanting to be like me and following me. I knew I was like, I'm going to take every ounce of that and I'm going to freaking wring it out. Like I'm going to get every single drop of water out of whatever is coming eventually. Mm-hmm. But it took a long time. Like people don't realize that I made content from, you know, 16 years old. I made content from 12 doing lacrosse until I was 18. But in the midst, I made a lacrosse.
What was the lacrosse content at 12 years old?
It was
Instagram.
Instagram and YouTube.
Okay.
So if you look up Spartan Strings lacrosse, that's me. Swear to God, dude, it's crazy looking at it. I'm literally 12. I'm like, hi, I'm Jesse James West and welcome to my lacrosse video. Like literally like high pitched voice pre-puberty. And like people don't even know about this, but if you just like look it up.
That's pretty cool though, because you've already from a very early age started teaching yourself how to be good on camera.
Yeah. So I knew how to talk to the camera. I just like didn't understand, you know, that a title and a thumbnail are important. I mean, a lot of people didn't know this until like recent years, I feel like. Like it wasn't really a thing on YouTube to be like, let's make a perfect title and thumbnail. You know, I didn't know that till now. But back then I would just, you know, screenshot whatever looked good on the video and you toss it in and put a little bit of text. I mean, you still do that. You still do that, but it does fantastic. So it's like, don't stop.
But then I think if I put a little bit more effort into it, like I could literally double the views. But sometimes I swear down, I'm just like, I'm lazy.
Maybe. I think it's one of those vibes.
Good, it's like just minimal.
Yeah.
And like if I'm topless, it's like, okay, maybe that's going to be enough to draw some people in.
Yeah.
But then I've actually looked back at a few thumbnails I've done recently. I'm like, you can do better than that, Mike. Come on.
Come on, Mike.
Step your game up.
Take 2 seconds. Look at the camera and flex. But so I was making a lot of content for years in lacrosse. I went through high school and started making fitness content. It was growing a little bit of a following. And by senior year of high school, I probably had, let's say, 12,000 followers about on Instagram. I had like 15,000 on YouTube. But it was all lacrosse and a little bit of fitness. Like I was starting to become, you know, the lacrosse fitness guy and not just the lacrosse guy. And I vividly remember like looking back at high school and being like, damn it, people were assholes to me about doing this. And I know some people that did it in high school you know, were respected. They got love for it. But my high school was super judgmental. Like, that's just the high school I went to. Like, everybody's super judgy. So, but that's like one of the things that I think that separated me from everybody else is that I kept going through that. Like, even though I got the hate, even though people, you know, like, they literally chant. I'll never forget this.
Was this because you were going around with a camera and just vlogging?
They saw me making gym vlogs.
Okay.
So, like, I was like a wannabe technically to them. Mm-hmm. But I knew, like, I was like, it's going to work. Like, just like, I'm going to do it no matter what. And so I basically became like sort of an outcast. Like, I was a popular kid. Everyone knew me, but also I only had a very small group of friends that were very great to me and supportive. But because everyone else was so judgmental, like, I kind of just blocked out everybody else. And I was like, I'm not going to deal with anyone else. I'm not going to be fake to people. Like, I'm only going to have my close friends, and I'm just going to focus on myself and what I want. And even though there was a bunch of hate around me, I still was going to continue because it's what I wanted. And if I listened to the hate and I listened to them, it was only going to hurt me in the future. Like, yeah. I'm not going to reach my goal if I let this get to me. And I could say that it didn't bother me, but it definitely did at times where, like, I'll never forget. I went to a school pep rally and in the US, do you know what a pep rally is?
Yeah.
So it's like each class. So like the seniors, the juniors, the sophomores and the freshmen are in like one bleacher. So like everyone has a section in this gymnasium and the seniors are going against the freshmen. And that was me. And we're going out to do a tug of war and they start chanting, or I was a sophomore, my bad. And they were like, Jesse James Fitness, and like, like the clap, that chant. And that could literally destroy somebody. Like, it's so.
What? They're doing that and I'm mocking you.
Mocking me and like flexing because I was like the gym bro that's trying to be an influencer. Yeah. And obviously I just look at them and I flex and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you want some of this, boys? Like, come get it. Like fuck off, basically. Uh-huh. But that's like something that lit a fire under me. And I was like, now I'm really not going to stop. Like, I don't care if I freaking die trying to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm telling you all this because like that was something that was like a struggle to go through of the beginning phases and like dealing with hate. And I feel like it built a really thick skin to where, I don't know, like hate doesn't really, like it doesn't really get to me. I obviously try to avoid it, but I don't know. Like, do you deal with hate and stuff?
Well, what I've noticed just from doing that video with you yesterday, you have like, you're just not embarrassed at all. You will go out there, do anything. You will go up to anyone, ask them any like awkward questions. It's ridiculous. And you just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, you just, when you're filming, you have this supreme confidence. You don't let anything bother you, which is like, I'm impressed because even, you know, I can do my thing in front of the camera. But sometimes when I walk around and I'm vlogging in a public space, it's like very distracting. And I'm aware that other people are looking at me because, you know, when you're holding a camera, everyone's like, well, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
And even sometimes when I'm going up to strangers and then asking them questions, like, I find that quite difficult and it can be awkward, but you literally just don't care. And I think that's probably come from obviously a lot of practice, but from an early age, just doing this and forcing yourself to do it when nobody else was doing it and just developing that thick skin.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that into like the connection of it, because I don't even realize half the time
that's, it's a skill.
Wow.
And it's interesting because, so like, everybody wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people want to be a YouTuber, but they don't understand how hard it actually is. You know, some people can be natural if they're naturally like extroverted and they just are never embarrassed, super confident, then they're going to be cool on camera and they can literally do anything and they won't care. But a lot of people will, like myself, like, they'll be kind of quite stiff and held back.
Yeah.
And what seems to be easy on camera, like, they could watch you and be like, oh, maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, it's actually really fucking hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're definitely I've collaborated with a lot of people, but just watching you work, I can see why you have the success that you have. Like, you're very good at what you do. And like, you can see by the numbers, like, pretty much every video you're putting out recently, it's getting anywhere between like 800K to over 1 million views.
Yep. Yeah.
Easily. It's
crazy.
Do you think you're naturally a very extroverted person? Because from spending time with you, you're like a big ball of energy.
Yeah, I think it kind of like I grew into it in a way. I was always an extrovert. I was always friendly with people. I was always a ball of energy my whole life. Like everyone, like I always like put smiles on people's faces, like mm-hmm. just from like being myself. But I think I used to think I was an introvert. I really did. Like in high school, like when I was just trying to do social media and focusing on lacrosse, and I had a girlfriend at the time, like all I did was school, girlfriend, lacrosse, gym, repeat, and like nothing else. No social life, partied once a year. Like, and so I was like, I must be an introvert, you know? I don't hang out with anybody. And I didn't know what an introvert truly meant, like where you're getting your energy from. Or is it yourself or are you getting it from other people? And obviously I have my days where I don't want to like be around anybody like anyone really does. But I think going to college and going down a path that I didn't want to, which was the lacrosse path and like playing sports in college, shit's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously what we do is fucking hard too, but like that it was harder for me because I didn't want to do it. So to backtrack, I was a Division I lacrosse commit, which means I was already like I had my future planned since I was literally 15. So I was 15 years old and I committed. You verbally commit, basically it's like signing paper with words to a college, a university, and I was going to play Division I, which is like the top tier. And it's like a top 20 school that I was going to. And it's also like a really intelligent school. Like I'm a smart guy, but I don't like love, you know, studying and stuff. And I was going to somewhere like basically an Ivy League. And, this whole time, like through high school and doing all this, like I'm discovering myself in fitness and what I want to do. And my passions is all over bodybuilding and trying to get into social media to inspire people. But this sport, and because I'm really good at it, and I say that humbly, not in like a brag way. It's life is pulling me to my left when I want to go right. And that was a really difficult challenge to get through. And by the time I got to college, and then I did one semester at the Division I school where I had the scholarship, and worst point of my life, like rock fucking bottom where I'm depressed. I'm sleeping through the day on purpose because I don't want to be awake for all this bullshit in my life. Like I was like, I do what I need to do. And then in between, I'm going to go take naps because it'll get me to 4 o'clock faster, which is like a super terrible way to go about life. Like that's not.
Why were you so unhappy? You were studying.
Yeah. So I was unhappy because it's like, I'm like a ball of light, you know, like I'm happy. I'm an energetic person. And then when you put these like confinements on me, I shut down like really bad. And like, I don't talk much. I have no emotion. I'm not like, you know, wanting to go meet girls and party or anything. All I want to do is just like have no emotion, just sit there and be like, fuck, this sucks. I hate this. And the confinements were, my college coaches, for a small period of time. And I love my parents, but like my dad was super hard on me, and I'm grateful for the hardship that I went through and that my dad kind of like pushed me to do in a way. And I don't have any hard feelings whatsoever because it brought me to where I am today. But like getting so much pressure, cause he thought that was the right path for me.
Down
the lacrosse and university way. My dad's like, you gotta do X, Y, Z so you can be successful. Yeah. So you make good money and you're secure. And like, as any parent would want their child. Yeah,
mine was the same.
So, and yeah, any parent wants that. And especially like an athlete parent, they're like double like you always see the most successful athletes. There's always like crazy parents that were like, yeah, we made him get up at 5 a.m. to make and to have a workout every single day since he was 12. Like that's the type of vibe that like it was a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting kind of like catered and convinced to go left on this path to play sports and go to college. And that's just like, it just wasn't in my nature to do that. Like just who I am, just these confinements. Like I'm a very free spirited person, need to have no rules basically. And as I get pushed down this route, I just get like darker and darker and darker until I hit rock bottom. And,
how old are you at this point in time?
I was 18. Yeah, I was 18. I was 18 years old. So young, you know, like you're not, I feel like at 18, you're finally starting to make more decisions on your own. You're still not fully like developed in the brain to be like, this is great for me, this is bad for me. You're just like, I'm just going to do what I'm told to do because that's what society is telling me. Did you go to college?
Yeah, so I went to university, and it was, I think it was 17 when I made the decision, but at that point in time, I'd literally gone to school to get the grade so that I could go to university. Yeah. All of my classmates were going to university. My dad wanted me to go to university. It was like the thing to do. So it's like I didn't, I felt like I had no other option.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, okay, well, I have to go to university because everyone else is doing that. And then I realized I picked a course purely because I thought it was a good course to do. It was economics and business management.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I started it, I hated it because I had no interest in it. At that point in time, I was just developing my love for going to the gym. So that's all I cared about. And then I always knew I wanted to have my own business and do my own thing. So at least I was hoping I would learn how to make money and run a business at university. But the weird thing about university is you're not actually being taught these lessons from people who have been there, built a company, run it, scaled it, and so on.
Exactly.
You're just learning the theory from lecturers who've actually never been out there in the field and done it for themselves. Yeah. And I was like, well, this is weird. This isn't really teaching me anything. So although I really enjoyed university, it was, I feel like in a way it was a bit of a waste of time for me. So I understand the same thing for you. Like, you're kind of just forced to do what you've been told to do, and it just seems strange.
Yeah.
And for me, I think when I graduated, I didn't get very good grades. So I literally just scraped a degree.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad was saying, like, because he was hoping I was going to do quite well. And he was like, well, what company is going to take you on now with this really, you know, pretty pathetic degree you've got? Because everybody else has got first, or they've got like a 2-1. So they're going to get the priority over you.
Yeah.
So for me, applying for jobs at these companies, you know, I wasn't really going to have a chance.
Yeah.
Which was a great thing, because then it kind of made me think, okay, well, I'm not going to go down that route.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and do my own thing.
But it's crazy because of how successful you are and how successful I am that we didn't do this thing we're told to do.
Mm.
And that's why I think it's like, it's so, and
the system is,
it's so broken, it's man. Up, it's so broken. And I hate seeing my close friends going, excuse me. I hate seeing my close friends, like go this cookie cutter route.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, guys, like, cause I obviously broke that cookie cutter and went a different way. And it was scary as fucking. I remember their parents were like scared for me, and like, they were supportive, but they were like, Jesse, just, you should stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't drop out. Don't, like, this is when YouTube started to work. But going back to when I was 18 and I was struggling, all of that made me truly realize that I need to make decisions for myself, and I need to stop being like a yes man to everyone around me and start becoming my own individual, like, character in this movie that I'm living, and take control of it. And I'm so glad I did, because from hitting rock bottom, like, people don't even know that, like, I've ever felt that way, and everyone has.
I can't, you know, imagine you.
Exactly.
Like,
no one's like, people are like, wait, you were depressed. And I was like, bro, I didn't even want to, like, live. Like, I wasn't, I wouldn't say I was like suicidal, like where I was like, I want to die right now. But I was like, bro, if I do have to do 4 years of this, like, I'd rather, like, just be non-existent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, I knew, like, in the future, let's stay away from that, because I don't know what's going to come if I stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling my mom that, and I broke down crying to her in a random Target, because she was visiting me for, like, parents weekend. It's like when all the parents come, and cried to her. I was like, Mom, I hate my life. I don't want to do this. I don't give a fuck that they're paying. They're basically paying me to be there, like, because I had a 87.5% scholarship, like, and it's a $60,000 school. So I was getting like over $40,000 a year to just go there, basically. And I was like, don't care. I'd rather be a garbage man the rest of my life. I don't know what to do. And my mom was like, you need to like quit. You need to like quit the lacrosse team. And if I quit the lacrosse team, I can't go to the school anymore, because they take away your scholarship, and my parents didn't have the money to be like, all right, we'll just pay $60K a year. Yeah. Like, no, that wasn't an option. It was either play sports, go to a good school, or basically either go to like community or something that's like $10K a year. And so like that was where we left off. My parents came, they visited me, my mom saw it firsthand. And you can look, it's crazy. You look back on photos that I took, and you just see this like dead like smile. Like, it's like I'm like, I'm smiling, and I thought I was smiling, but I'm just so like like literally like just suffering that you could like if you look at me now and look at me then, you'll be like, wow, like you are clearly unhappy. Mm. And only like close family and friends could really see it. And I would be calling my close friends every day, like telling them about this. And so I get to a point where I'm like, you know what? My mom basically gave me the go ahead. My mom told my dad, she's like, you have no say in this. Jesse's quitting. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what you say. And he was just like, I have to accept this. Like, they understood the circumstance of how unhappy I was. And so I called my high school lacrosse coach. And cause I was like, I was going to slowly stop playing lacrosse. I wasn't going to just rip it off and no longer play because it's been a part of my life since I was 11. And I didn't know any other life without it. I don't even know who I was without it. And so I called my high school lacrosse coach and I'm like, can you help me find some D3, which is like there's less hours involved. It's like basically like high school, but for college, like lacrosse, like it's not as serious in my opinion. I shouldn't say it's not serious. It's not as much dedication to it if you want it to be that way. Like, so D1, they can practice like 40 hours a week. It's a full-time job, full-time, literally full-time, 9 to 5. But then D3 can only practice like 15. So I thought, okay, I'll go there. I'll go to a smaller school. Maybe I'll get some money off and be able to go to school cheaper. And just that day of quitting and going to the coach and telling him I'm done. Like, I remember he was like, what? Like, you're like one of three people on a scholarship. What are you talking about? You're going to be a starter next year. Like, just get through freshman year. And I was like, fuck no, I'm out. I don't care. I was like, you give me $1 million and I'm leaving. Like, I don't care. And that liberation that I felt, oh my God, I'll never forget. I was like high for like 2 months. It felt like, cause I experienced so low that like when I felt normal or above, holy shit. Like, it was just enlightened freedom. And it was inner peace. That's what it truly was. And you know who told me that? That's what that feeling was? Connor Murphy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was explaining this to him and I was like, maybe he'll understand how I felt. Like, because like, he went off the deep end a little bit. But I was explaining to him and he's like, you weren't crazy. He's like, you felt inner peace. Like, you truly were Jesse for the first time and you were okay with everything. It was the greatest feeling that I've ever felt. And it showed me I need to live on my own boundaries, live on my own life, and be the main character of this story that eventually will be told, which I'm telling right now, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, even though it sucked so bad going through all that, I'm so glad that I did, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be getting interviewed by the Mike Thurston, the juicy arm Mike Thurston, you know what I'm saying? But just really glad that all happened, you know? Like, the hardship leads to the...
I think a lot of people need to realize that, especially if they're in a situation where they're not happy and they don't feel like themselves and they feel trapped. Mm-hmm. They just have to take that risk and find a way of escaping from it so they can truly be who they want to be or do whatever it is that they want to do. It's not going to be easy, but you just have to suck it up and make that difficult decision.
Yeah, and it's really hard... initiating that, mm-hmm. you know, like getting the courage or bravery to tell your parents, I'm not doing that. Or because your whole fucking life, they tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And you're about to walk up to them and go, nope. Like,
especially because 18 is still young.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a kid then. Yeah. You know? Like, I don't know. I'm a kid now. Like, in reality.
How old are you now?
I'm 22.
22. So you're doing pretty damn well for a 22-year-old.
So trying.
That's good.
Yeah.
So when you made that decision, you left, what was the situation at that point in time? Because I imagine you're not earning any money.
Yeah, no.
I assume you live in your parents?
Yeah. Thankfully, my parents weren't the people that were like, get out, you know? They're so loving. They were like, we're sorry that we kind of led you down this road. Mm-hmm. We didn't mean it that way. They didn't leave me there to go, you're going to be depressed. Ha. Like, no, they were leading me as like, I'm going to make you a successful man. Mm-hmm. And I'm a successful man now. So they did lead me this way, you know? Mm-hmm. But after that, I was at a different school, still discovering myself. And, you know, eventually I have more free time now, you know, I can start focusing on social media. Also, when I was at the scholarship school, they told me to stop posting on social media. That was a huge thing. I was like,
so anti you.
Yeah, exactly. They literally told me, stop working out so much, because they know I would go double session, because I was like, I want to fucking bodybuild. Mm. It's the only time I feel good. I hate my life otherwise. Why would I quit this? Oh, so they say, stop lifting so much. You can't get any bigger. I was like 200. I was like 195 pounds, fucking meat stick. but I still had abs and everything. Like I probably had more muscle then. 195 pounds, and they're like, stop lifting so often. You're not going to be as good at lacrosse, and maybe you shouldn't post on social media. Maybe it's taking too much of your time. And I was like, that's my dream. I was like, that's what I want to do. What do you mean? So then I quit and everything. But like, crazy, man.
That is
like
crazy.
These freaking college sports. Like I see people that are like, oh, I'm a college athlete. I'm like, ha, you probably not ha. I'm like, you probably hate your life and you're not telling anybody. And I've talked to so many athletes, and I don't know how it is in like other countries. I'm just talking about like US because I don't know the other divisions in like the UK or whatever, but I'm sure every athlete, you know, it's tough. Like lifting weights is fucking hard. But like I've never spoke to an athlete that played at a college sport or at a university, and they're like, I love it. Love it so much. Cause it's like,
I can imagine it's so intense.
It's like
every day you got to train, you got to like your entire life is literally devoted to becoming better at that sport.
While being a student, which is already like near impossible for some people, you know? So it's just like this pressure is unbelievable for these people that are doing it. Like, and that's why I never understood my parents when they'd say, like, playing sports is going to help you when you're older. I was like, how? Literally how? I don't understand it. And like now I totally get it. Like, did you play any sports?
Yeah, I played rugby for almost 10 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I remember, I think I first started playing when I was 9-10 years old. And then I played right up until the age of 18. So actually, I loved it. And it was really good for making friends.
Yeah,
because I met a lot of people in the rugby team. They were all like lads. Like, we used to go out, we'd drink, we'd have fun. And even outside of the rugby season, I did something else. Like, I would do athletics. Like, I was always like really, really sporty.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it because I think that was one of the things at school which I thought was actually quite fun. But I remember at one point it was so intense because I used to play for a club outside of school. So I was playing for my school on a Saturday. That's when we played the games against other school. And the Sunday I had to play the games against other clubs around the country. So two games on a weekend and then practice every single day after that. So I was playing rugby every day.
Yeah.
And it was too excessive. Like, I was getting to the point where I wasn't really enjoying it. And particularly in the UK during the rugby season, which is when it was colder, I was just freezing my ass off on the pitch. Like, it was raining. It was just pretty miserable. And obviously, you see now, I'm the type of person that likes to be in the sun. I like to be in the warm. Back then, it was just like,
I could tell by the color of your skin, you're all tan.
It was not fun. And I think that was just a case of doing too much of one thing, that particularly when it came to my later years, when I was 17, 18, I was really starting to lose interest in it. And I wanted to do something different. And I actually started going into this tiny little gym in my school and thought, I don't know where the sort of inspiration came from, but I just knew like, oh, I want to be like a little bit more jacked. Nobody else was doing it in my school. Like, the gym was always empty. So I went there, and then I would like get a bit of a pump on, look in the mirror, and I'd be like, oh, this is so cool.
You're addicted.
So I wanted to do more of it, but I couldn't because I was doing too much of the rugby and I was exhausted or I was like injured.
Yeah.
So when everybody went to university, all the rugby team, everybody in there started, you know, playing rugby at their university. And that was when I made the decision. I was like, you know what? I'm done with rugby. Like, all I want to do now is just like, I want to focus 100% on going to the gym.
Yeah.
And that's when I started taking the gym seriously and like, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I think being an athlete is like, it's such an advantage because of how difficult it is, you know, like playing every single day, like you have the resilience to like push through injury, push past uncomfortability. And that's why it like makes sense that people always used to say, oh yeah, like a business would come speak to like the lacrosse team. And they'd be like, we always look for athletes because they literally have like an upper hand of a tolerance to things. Like, they can push past the uncomfortability of too much work, push past it. Oh, your arm's broken? Doesn't matter. Still can do things because you've done it before. And it's just crazy to look back, like all the pain of doing all the sports and all like the years of doing the rugby. Like, it may, like I feel like you can almost tell when someone's plays sports. I'm like, you're smart. Like, you could be smart and get somewhere and you could be skilled and like good at what you do. But I'm like there's got to be some sort of background. I could just feel like there's something you did for years that you've dedicated to that is why you're so good at like becoming a businessman, doing YouTube and doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that, you know, you played rugby for so long. Cause I was like, you definitely played sports.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when I have kids, I will definitely lead them down the same path. Not necessarily rugby, but whatever sport they enjoy. But I think it's important for a youngster to have sport or some form of activity in their life. But I wouldn't be like crazy over the top, like, do you have to do this?
Yeah, I think pushing, like when I have kids one day, I definitely want them to have some sort of, I think it's good to have like a little bit of an obsession on something, you know, like a healthy obsession to be really good at something. Like if they want to be the best fucking violin player in the world, I'm going to be like, play those strings, kid. Come on. Faster, faster. Like they're going to fucking be the best violinist that they could be. And it's like just finding your passion. And it's difficult to find a true passion because something like what I thought was my true passion wasn't. But I developed so many skills along the way doing it for so many years that I never even thought I was developing the whole time. Like just being like, I think my work capacity is so high. And like you said, like I'm doing something every single day and it's like, I can handle all that because I've just done something every single day for so many years. Like I play lacrosse 7 days a week for like 8 years, seven days a week. I was like, what did I just say? 7 days a week for like 8 years. You know, it's like you do something every day. Even if it's not even the thing that you're going to end up doing, you still are gaining some sort of perspective on life and some sort of habit.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why if you start at going to the gym at a young age too, like and obsessing over that, you might not be a pro bodybuilder one day, but like all those lessons you're learning of staying true to it and like progressively adding weight and learning those values that like things take a long time, which I think people struggle with so much.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a quick fix that they don't realize that everything in life is going to take baby steps until one day those baby steps added up so much that you're now taking leaps.
Yeah.
So it's like people didn't realize that I started YouTube in 2012. It 2022, it's been 10 years for me to finally get to the point where I'm like growing at 100,000 a month, you know? But like everyone just sees it like, wow, this guy popped off in the past few years. I'm like, bro, I popped off in the past 10 years. Like, let's go back. Like, let's really go back. Cause like, you've been doing this for so long. What is your like goal for the next, because I see it's, you transitioning
But. It's interesting because I go through phases. I mean, before I hit a million, you're so motivated to hit a million.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was when I was like, come on, like I was grinding and then I hit that. And then I didn't really set myself a goal after that. I think after that point, instead of making videos for other people, I was starting making videos for myself. Mm-hmm. So if I found something that was interesting or something which I wanted to do, I'd just be like, okay, let's go and make this video.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't necessarily be the best for getting as many views as possible, but at least I had fun doing it. Maybe I had a new experience and I enjoyed it. And I think particularly over like the past two summers, I've lost momentum and motivation. And I realize when I'm not putting that content out there or I'm not making useful, valuable, motivating videos, I feel like I'm losing my purpose a bit. Mm. Because you have, let's say, for example, you build up an audience of over a million people.
Yeah.
They're all there waiting for your next video. Like, they want to see you.
Yeah.
And if you stop giving them videos, then I feel like I'm kind of letting them down a bit and I'm wasting my potential. Like, imagine how many people are watching you and they're like, they can't wait for your next video.
Yeah.
Imagine if you just stopped making videos for a couple of months. Everyone would be blowing up your Instagram saying like, Jesse, what's going on? Where's your video? Blah, blah. So my goal now, I think because I'm 32, the videos which I was making in my mid-20s, like the vlogs or like trying to be the entertainer, I don't feel like that's me anymore. I feel like I've matured quite a bit. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I've got into the podcasting, because I feel like something like this, for me, it feels a lot more satisfying compared to, you know, going around Dubai or going on like a party holiday and just, it's entertaining, but I feel like I'm just showing off and I'm kind of like, hey, everybody, look at me, have a good time. Like, some people love that. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that like the travel vlogs or they
want to see. I love the travel vlogs. I love them.
So I will always, I will keep them in there.
Yeah.
But maybe not do them quite as frequently.
Yep.
I think now I'm really going down the route of just trying to help people with myself, trying to learn, because like I learn a lot from doing like these podcasts and having these conversations. And the great thing about YouTube is it's given me an opportunity to do so many things which I wouldn't have normally done.
Yeah.
Right. Because
gives you a reason to.
Yeah. If you're doing a vlog or you're thinking, damn, okay, so I need to do something which is going to entertain people or it's going to be interesting or it's going to be different. So you plan something crazy, which you would, you would, if there's no cameras there, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cameras are there and it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. So it's a pretty cool job at the end of the day.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I'm sure, what would you say has been the craziest experience for you from all the vlogs which you've done, particularly recently? Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode.
The one that first comes to my mind, and my cameraman's going to agree, was Liver King.
Oh, yeah.
We went to Liver King. We ate raw meat, drank blood. Like, that didn't even make it in the video because I was just like, people are going to hate on that. But, like not human blood.
Yeah.
Like, a cow's blood. They just, like, take a syringe or whatever. But that was the most, like, honestly, I feel like right from – that was the most, like, shifting point in my recent, you know, career of the past because – one, it was really fun. Mm-hmm. Like, we genuinely had a blast. And then two, it was like I learned for sure more about myself and like how important it is to really put a message out there to people and like make people really feel like an emotion when they're watching my videos and take an emotion away. Like, my goal now, like ever since I made that video, I want to make a video. And like, yeah, fitness is what I do, but the backbone of what I'm trying to do recently is I want to make a video that someone clicks on, they watch, and they leave a better person. Mm. They leave different, you know? They're like, fuck, I never really thought about it like that, you know? And obviously, it's really difficult to have that deep of a story on every video, but as often as possible, like, I low-key, like, just like you, like, I'm growing up, you know? Like, I'm only 22 and, like, within a year, but, like, I'm going to rapidly, you know, mature until whenever, I don't know when, but like, I'm still fun and a kid at heart. And like, I laugh at a lot of shit and like make stupid jokes. But at the end of the day, I am getting older, you know, like I'm in a serious relationship, you know, my life is accelerating fast as fuck and I'm going to grow with that. And I think it's important not to fight it because that's when you start hating it. You know, like I grew out of lacrosse, but I never fought it. And that's why I ended up like resenting the shit out of it and hating everything about it for so many years until I just hit rock bottom. So what I learned from that is you got to grow with whatever you're doing and allow it to just be natural. You know, like if one day I want to go make travel Mike Thurston vlogs because that's truly who I am, like that's what I'm going to do. Whether that means less or more views, like I think it's about fulfillment. And obviously you need to make money to survive in this world. But as long as you're comfortable and doing well and fulfilling yourself and helping or fulfilling others while watching, it's like super, like that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And if you would ask me a year ago, like, do I care about making someone feel an emotion and tell this story and leave a better person? Like maybe subconsciously I was doing that with the videos and motivating in different ways, but I would have just said, no, I just want to entertain. Like that's it. I just want it to be sick. And that's like make it as cool as possible. And I'm like, there's other ways of entertaining, you know, like a sad movie is entertaining, you know, a horror movie is entertaining. It doesn't just because it wasn't an action movie with The Rock, like doesn't mean it's not entertaining. So it's like, okay, there's different aspects to like YouTube that I want to dive into. And just recently, I've just really found a passion in storytelling and like filmmaking and like researching that and trying to put that into YouTube format. And yeah, I'm not the first to do it. It's not like I'm fucking breaking the internet, but I'm definitely unique in a sense to the fitness space of trying to do it different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I find the most fulfillment when I go film a video with almost no plan, no script, maybe like 4 points that I'm going to try to make happen. And we leave with like a masterpiece story that I'm like, holy shit. It's a real story that actually happened. Like Liver King was a real story that really happened. I went in, I was the like,
how many views has that got now, that video?
Almost 9 million. Yeah. Fucking crazy, bro. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, lately it's like these, like the views are sick and I think it's like the more you get, I feel like you get a little bit numb to it, you know? Like I'm like, oh, it's a million. Like that's good. But before I'd be like, fuck yeah, it's a million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now like, even if I get 10, like if I got 10 million in a week, I'd probably be like, what just happened? But it takes a lot to really like feel that, you know? So I have to find, like, it's like the feeling that I get from YouTube has changed.
Yeah.
Before it was only subs and then it was only subs. When I was on the road to a million, I got to a million, then it was only views. Now it's obviously I want views and I want subs and blah, blah, blah. But now it's how can I really, really make people feel, you know, and while still maintaining that high view and high sub count? Cause that obviously, like, you know,
it's important.
It's important. We have no choice but to, it's like saying invest in stocks, but don't care about the money. Like, what's the point then? But I want to build that portfolio of valuable videos that I want to look back in a few years and be like, bro, that's like, remember that? That was a freaking great video that everyone loved. Like I went to the most obese town in America, and obviously from the title, people were like, what the fuck did you, what'd you just say? Like, and I'm like, no, just click on the video and like give it a minute. Okay. Like, and it's this super beautiful story. And obviously, you know, it could be better in any different way. Like you could always improve on things, but it's a beautiful story of I'm this naive bodybuilder that wants to help people. Naive, maybe that's not the right word, but I'm this bodybuilder that doesn't know what he's getting himself into. And I'm telling the story of me going to this place and experiencing all the things of what someone would experience in this town when, if they're overweight, and then meeting people, building friendships into then discovering like the real truth of what it looks like to be truly obese and the struggles that they actually feel, and being empathetic towards that and like showing the empathy through the video. Mm-hmm. And that was just like, it's so much more fulfilling than screaming at the camera. Like it was a very serious, it's like a sad video. People are crying because it's like so emotionally moving.
I mean, with that title and thumbnail, that video could go any way.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would think like, oh, this is not going to end well.
Exactly.
Or you're going to get a lot of hate.
Yeah. But I was like, I knew, the story I wanted to get, I wanted a serious story. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go in and make it like a journalistic style. And we went and like it literally unfolded. And that's why like let me finish my sentence. Sorry. I'm like always ahead of myself. it literally unfolded in a nice natural way in realness, real relationships. And that's why like we kind of just like let that video tell itself with the editing. Like I think YouTube's in a place where there's like the Mr. Beast style, and then there's like documentary style and like slower vlog. Like your style with a little bit more of a story. Mm-hmm. Like your story is your life, but think about like a more of a concept, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking like a 30-day challenge. Like I did sit-ups for 30 days. Like that's like a challenge, but now add some sort of crazy story. And like, it's really hard to do, but I feel YouTube going that way. Mm. And so it's like, I feel like everyone's gonna be making this shift. And I don't think Mr. Beast will make a shift like this, but it's like, there's like two categories. There's like crazy, the fastest roller coaster. And then there's like the roller coaster that's scenic. And you see everything, you know? And I kind of want to mesh those together and like get that, you know, that crazy topic vibe, but also have like the scenic, chill, meaningful vibe, you know, and like where they're attached to the character, you know, like, cause that's why you still pull so many views on your vlogs and they're so chill. Is it's not the topic, it's you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, I love Mike. You could fucking probably post a video called like right, left, right. And it would probably
if it's like me topless on the thumbnail and it's got the most like random title ever. People know, okay, this is gonna be a vlog.
Yeah.
And he's probably gonna be doing something relatively interesting.
Yeah. And like you click and you watch.
I love that I have that because I can just have Chris follow me around and I don't necessarily have to have like this plan or to go and do all this crazy stuff. It's like, thankfully I can keep the viewers watching because of just who I'm speaking to or what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's like so good. And if those numbers were to taper off, then okay, I'd have to rethink my plan and do something different. But thankfully it's doing okay.
It's steady, man. Like that's what's cool. It's like, that's how my girlfriend is. Like her content, like I'm this, like I think different than my girlfriend for content. I'll be like, babe, you should like do this. And she's like, nah, I'm good. Like I'm like, all right, I guess. Like I'll try to make like a suggestion, but that's more like my style, but that's just how my brain is like wired. Like I feel like everything I think, especially like if I'm like think if it involves YouTube, it's like this, like I have a structured brain this way right now. And that's why I feel like I obsess over it that way. Mm-hmm. And it kind of leads me to make certain styles of videos. And then I'll get a new inspiration. And then my brain will obsess over this way and then change direction. And I feel like that's why my channel's kind of like I'm growing because of the changes I make. Mm-hmm. You know, every change like is like a new stepping stone kind of.
And it's like you're kind of reinventing yourself.
Over and over. Yeah. But it's just not, I don't plan it, you know? Like, I'm not like, all right, in a year, I'm going to make gaming content. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, who the hell? I don't know what I'm going to do in a year. Like, I'm just going to let that, like, story be told in a year, whatever it is, and then whatever ideas I have. And I think, like, that's where going back, like, being obsessed with something is, like, really good because it just forces you to just hone in on this thing. And, like, if you obsess over it and make it perfect. Yeah, it's like really hard on yourself. And these like crazy story based videos that I want to make are really difficult because like making a real, like it's easy to make a story if it's fabricated, you know, like you can write a script and get actors and do all that. But like, how do you do it naturally is like really hard. Yeah. It's like a plot point more than an actual story written. So.
And watching you work yesterday, I could see like you already had you visualized what it's going to look like and you were giving Elvis, the cameraman, like specific orders like, okay, get the shot, do this, make sure we get a little bit of this. And then we'd go, we'd get film each scene. And even I was impressed. I was like, fuck. Cause sometimes I'd let the cameraman do his thing, but the whoever's filming doesn't have the same vision in your head. Like, you know exactly how you want it to look.
Yeah.
They might have a different idea. Mm-hmm. So you have to be, give them specific directions, be very vocal and make sure they're getting the content which you need in order to make the video which you want to make.
Yeah, because maybe people realize this, but there's probably a good amount that just watch and just brainlessly look at it, which is fine, but they don't realize that like a lot of YouTubers, unless they're like have a shit ton of money just and like employees, but like in my opinion I'd rather keep my team smaller, it's easier to manage, but you kind of got to be like the idea guy, the director, you know, the cinematographer in a way because you're telling him what to do. But like that mostly because I didn't have, like I have my main camera guy named Joey, a great fucking killer cameraman. And like we've been working long enough, like we built a relationship where he knows what I want to do and he knows what I don't want to do. I kind of give him a rundown before. I'm like, make sure we focus on this vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I'm with you, I'm going to be like, make sure we're like not rushing, you know, like I want it to come off like Mike Thurston. I want it to have that like chill, confident vibe and like the swim trunks and the shades, you know what I'm saying? But like, but then if we're doing something solo in, I don't know, the gym and it's a challenge, I'm like, all right, today's got to be hectic. It needs to look hectic. So let's be hectic. Mm-hmm. And kind of just having that and like he'll help direct and stuff like, because there's so much decision to be made that I'm like brain dead by the end of things or in the middle of a video. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm like, I can't even think straight. Yeah. And, you know, that's where it's like having a team member that you can collaborate with, basically. Like me and Joey basically collab on every video. You know, like he puts in an energy, I put in an energy, and this is a byproduct. And having someone just bounce ideas off of, I'm like, what do you think of this? And not having a yes man. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. When someone just says yes to everything, I'm like, no, tell me no. Tell me my idea is terrible. Like, I'm not going to be hurt. Like I'll ask my cameraman Joey. I'll be like, should we do an intro like this? And he'll be like, like, I don't know how. And then right there, I'm like, all right, never mind. We're not going to bother. Like, unless it's a hard yes, like don't even do it. During thumbnails, move left, move right. You know, all those little things. Like I think having the right people around you can help really build a lot of success. And but the thing is, though, like in the beginning, I was doing it all alone, you know, as most of us did.
Well, I think for anyone who wants to get into creating content or doing YouTube, I almost feel like they have to learn the basics, mm-hmm. even the basics of video editing. Like even like I taught myself how to use Final Cut Pro. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's just like more of an advanced iMovie, I thought.
Yeah.
But I loved teaching myself how to edit and almost, you know, figuring out how a story should be told.
Yep.
And I thought that was hugely beneficial for me. There's a lot of people who just want to jump into it without understanding the basics. So do you think that YouTube is for everyone? Because I know at this point in time, there's so many people that like, they look at me, they look at you, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah. Like, I want to be an influencer. Do you think it's for everybody?
The hard truth is probably no, you know, because there's so many elements to a personality to be a YouTuber. And it's not just good looking person, funny, good storyteller. It's like, or a hot girl. Like it's not really like that. It's like, do you have thick skin? Can you handle literally people just hating you?
Yeah,
like
the YouTube like comments hating you. Are the most brutal.
Yeah. And like, especially in the, I feel like in the beginning too, like when you're just building an audience, like you're always technically building an audience, but like if you don't have a core audience to be pushing that positivity on your comments, like you don't have an army, you know what I mean? And there's so much like creativity to it. Like not everyone's creative. I mean, I honestly think that a lot of people are creative and they just don't know how, they don't know it. Cause they're like, no, I'm not creative. I'm like, you probably are.
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta like be confident in that. But again, are you confident? Do you think you can do it? You know, like a lot of people want to do it, but are you actually like believing that you can do it? And then also, are you actually going to put the effort and patience into it? Most people are not going to wait 8 years for it to work. Like I literally waited when I was 12, I literally was like, I'm going to do YouTube, you know? And I said, I'm going to do YouTube until I was fucking 20. And then I was like, I'm going to do YouTube, and it wasn't working. And I remember one day I was like, I literally like quit in my head. I was like, I put in like a month during quarantine of fitness videos, and I'm like, fuck this. It's doing worse than ever. I'm not doing this. And then one buddy who does football content sent me a photo of like this like miner, like searching for gold. And there's one that's right about to hit gold and him walking the other way because he gave up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's one that's 10 feet away and he's fucking going hard. And he sends me this and he's like, you don't know how close you are. Yeah. And I was like,
You might be one video off,
man,
from blowing up.
And it was crazy because he sent me that. And I swear to God, 2 weeks later, like my career took off. Mm. And I was like, holy shit, I was that miner. I was about to walk away. Like I literally texted all my friends and said, I'm done with YouTube. Not doing this anymore. I give up. And it's like most people are going to have that feeling of giving up a month in.
Yeah. I see it so often. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to do YouTube. They bring out like 3 or 4 videos and then they stop.
Yeah. Because they think that they're going to get thousands of views immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you got to be okay with getting one view for like 5 years. Gary Vee always said, I love the guy, motivational, but you know who that is?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like he kind of just like spews bullshit sometimes.
Yeah.
But the one bullshit that I liked of his was, he was like, are you willing to wait 5 years before seeing any results? So I always told myself, I was like, just wait 5 years. You have to wait 5 years. And then when they ask me, hey man, what's your biggest tip? I'm like, be ready to wait 5 years before you see an ounce of success.
Yeah.
But the reason it's not for everyone is because not everyone was in a situation like starting young. You know, like I'm in high school. You know, I can make a video literally probably during lunch. You know, like I can work around it. I can make a video on my phone in my basement for 10 minutes and try to make it. But the thing is, like when you're like providing for a family or, you know, trying to put food on the table for yourself or whatever it is, and you're working 9 to 5 and overtime and all this other stuff, you have 2 jobs. It's fucking hard to do YouTube because you don't actually have time. The reason I took off was because of quarantine. Like quarantine hit, everyone was stuck at home. Like I was in college. The only thing I couldn't really work. Like jobs, they weren't accepting new jobs. Like a lot of people lost jobs. People were unemployed. And I was in college and I was playing lacrosse. Lacrosse season ended. It was my last lacrosse season ever. School shut down. We were taking online classes, which were just a joke. You just showed up and got an A. And I was like, I have free time finally. You know, like normally I have a cross practice, school, study, sleep. That's it. And I was like, I finally have time. I'm going to actually put effort into this. So it was like market timing for me.
Yeah.
And then also like the ability of being patient. So it's like you never know when the opportunity is going to come, but you have to be patient towards it. And then when it happens, be like, fucking go.
Yeah.
You know, but most people don't even wait for the opportunity. It's 2 years after they quit and they're like, oh damn, I could have been doing it. Like quarantine just hit. I could have been trying YouTube like forever and ever. Like, you know, it's too late. You fucking quit 2 years ago. Yeah. So it's like,
you have to really go in and do it. Like you, even for me, like I thought about doing it. I'd kind of half started, but I was too busy training people. I was coaching people every day, my one-to-one personal training sessions.
Yeah.
And then I just came to the realization, I was like, look, if I want to make this whole YouTube thing work, I have to stop doing the one-to-one stuff because it's eating up so much of my time.
Yeah.
So when I left my gym, I left all my clients, I moved to London, and then I was there for the first time ever. I was living alone, so there was no distractions. I was in an apartment by myself. I had no clients. I was like, whoa, like,
yeah,
I have so much time.
Yeah.
Like, so let's go for it. And I think I was filming and editing myself 2 videos a week. And I was, that was my life for a year.
You have to.
And I look back and it was like, well, like compared to the lifestyle I have now, I was like, well, I didn't really do anything. I was just, okay, film a video, edit a video, 2 or 3 days passed. Okay, it's time to, I have to do it again. Film a video, edit a video. And then it's just constant. Just
repeat. Yeah. That's what I was doing. I was just living at my parents' house. I was posting like I was doing every other 2 days. So I'd post, film, edit, post, repeat. And just on repeat. So it was like 2.5 videos a week or whatever. And just go mode for like 3 months. Built it up slowly. Just doing, I literally, like low key, was just like looking at Matt's fitness. And I was like, I'm just going to do like the challenges he's doing because I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
That was probably the year when he was popping off as well.
Yes. That's also how I like, that's why I was like, oh, that's Mike Thurston. Like I watched you growing up, like, but like blindly and was just like, oh, Jack dude, like flex abs, lighting, you know? But then I saw you in that, the Navy SEAL test.
Yeah. That went viral. It got probably 18 million
viral
views. Yeah.
And I remember I saw that and then like a year later when I was still in college, this was the first time I got like 30,000 views. And this was like insane to me. And I never forget this feeling. I was like, yeah, I got fucking 30,000 views. Mm. I did that. I said, college athletes try the Navy SEAL test and got like 30,000 views. And I was like, shit. So like that was my first indicator that I can make it without lacrosse.
Yeah.
You know, like I was like, okay, if I go this like challenge fitness route, it might work. And then COVID hit. And then I was like, do it. Go. So, but what it did for me was like, I was editing videos for years, getting slowly better and better from like age 16 to like basically 20 until it took off. And it taught me so much. Like obviously, you know, that was just like practice, you know, like I basically did 8 years of practice for the game that was on 2020.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the whole journey. And then after that, I had the summer was, I feel like summers are always pretty big in my opinion. Like there's just, you know, everyone is, they don't have school. They're, you know, chilling on their phone a lot. It's nice out. You can do cool things, post about it. And that summer was like my first summer that like started going up, taking more views, trying the Rocks diet, Mark Wahlberg, day in the life, shit everybody was doing. It was like trendy. There was a lot more trends.
You were following trends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say there's like no fucking trends now on YouTube. Mm. There's none. Like otherwise I'd be doing them.
Yeah.
You know, like now I'm like trying to make my own trend or something, like, you know, but
it's so difficult because like with each year that passes, more and more stuff has been done. And it's like you now have to be so creative to do something that no one's done before.
Yeah. And then that's also why it's like hard for people to get started in YouTube is because I don't want anyone to be discouraged on how hard it is. Like it's fucking doable. I did it. You did it. Anyone can do it. Like we're not special humans. Like we're just hard workers and put the effort towards it and probably believed. And it's like the fact that it's getting like more and more saturated doesn't make it harder. It's just like
there's more competition for attention. More,
yeah. It's like you just got to fight for it. You know, like if you're going to, one thing I see people do is they make the mistake of like either like fully copying somebody, like trying to be someone, the imitation, I should say, they're literally imitating them in not a non-negative way. And it's not good because they don't have that audience to be that person. Like, mm-hmm. like if someone copies Mike Thurston or Jesse James West, I don't know. I don't mean, I'm trying to talk as channel name, not mm-hmm. third person. If they try to copy us, it's like, we have an audience already. There's already a Jesse James audience. There's yeah. already a Mike Thurston audience. It's like,
you gotta be you.
You literally have to be you. Like, and that's why we are successful, because you have that personality of Mike Thurston and I have that energetic personality of Jesse. Like if, mm-hmm. if I just all of a sudden was like, you know what? I'm going to be Mike Thurston. Like my audience would be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
You know? And then people would be like, why are you trying to be like Mike? You know, like
I've sometimes in the past fallen down the trap of trying to be like somebody else. Like, no,
I remember when
Matt was doing really well, I almost went through a phase of trying to change my content to be like him. And then I was just like, fuck me, this is not me.
Yeah.
Like, so why am I trying to force myself to do yeah. this stuff which I don't like?
And I think like Connor Murphy, the way I can compare it is Connor Murphy was like the first guy to do like the girl content in my eyes. Like he was the first one that came to market with hitting on girls gets views. At least I think there was other people that weren't fitness, but in the fitness industry. And then growing up, I loved Connor Murphy. I watched a shit ton. I'm sure you could tell by all my thumbnails
over
the past years, you know? And then I learned like, you know, girls get views, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in the beginning people were like, yo, it's Connor Murphy 2.0. But then I went a whole different route. I was like, it's similar. I went through like the straight up street interview, because he never really did like questions. Mm-hmm. It was always a game or like some sort of build up suspense thing, like ripping off the shirt. And I was like, all right, I'm just not going to do that. But I'm going to use that as inspiration and try to and not emulate him. I'm not going to have his personality. He has like this calm personality when he does it that is kind of smirking and like hitting on the girl. And like for me, I was like, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to do my thing. And then I end up realizing how fun they were. Like, so like the energetic Jesse, like just naturally, you know, came through. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to be like, hey guys, like it was just like, holy shit, this is hilarious. Like I found it funny. Now I'm not going to lie. I don't find them as entertaining, because I've asked every fucking question in the book.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fit bod, dad bod. Let me guess, fit bod. Oh, you're going to say dad bod. Like I already know the answers, but it's like just letting yourself be you and like be inspired, you know. Try videos that I've done, like do them, but do them your own way, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, don't just fucking Photoshop your face on my thumbnail. Like that's shitty.
That's lazy.
It's lazy. Yeah, exactly. Use it as inspiration, but don't be lazy with it. And mm-hmm. like, there's people that copy me that I'm like, you're fucking lazy. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even care that, like, it's not about the aspect of copying. It's like, bro, like you're not working hard for what, like you're literally you're taking my hard work and just going, sick, thanks for working hard for me. Like as if I'm your fucking employee.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Really, bro? Like I get heated on that shit. Well, like that's why, all right. And also, people don't realize that YouTube is, if you want to be the best, you have to literally be ahead of all the competition, and not as in like more subscribers, more views. You have to literally be thinking like 3 months ahead on trends and like, or whatever is going to be working, and be doing that. Like all the videos that I've done and worked, it's like other people replicate them, and it's like, but they're the third person to do
it.
And I've done videos that other people did, and I understand that, but I try so hard. Like I just did the fat suit, and Joe Fazer and Will Tennyson did it. And I was like, okay, this is a good idea. At first I was like, I'm never going to do it, because they did it. And then I was like, bro, I'm going to do it, but like, I'm going to get makeup done and I'm going to make it like a serious tone video. Will's was pretty serious, but like, I literally became overweight for a day. Like Will and Joe, just like, no offense to them or at all, but like they looked pregnant for a day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what were they missing? They were missing the face. Like people in the video were like, yeah, but your face is skinny. And I was like, I don't want that. I want it to be real and genuine and like heart to heart. So I went a whole different route. And that was my best rendition of that video, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's funny, because with the video I ended up doing with Andrew Tate, I ended up being one of the first ones.
Yeah, bro. I didn't know who he was until you made it. And I was like, who the fuck is Andrew Tate?
Yeah, because I'd listened to a few podcasts which he'd been on last year. So nobody really knew who he was. I think he had like a semi-loyal fan base. And I remember listening and I was like, this guy is absolutely mad. He's so entertaining, but he's so different.
Yeah.
And I had this feeling, I was like, this guy is either going to pop off, or at least he deserves to pop off. I don't know, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So when he was in Dubai, obviously nobody was hitting him up. He was just doing his thing. And I was like, yeah, let's do a video. And I put in the title, like, his name, my name. And I guarantee the majority of the people who watched that video had no idea who he was.
But then, I clicked on it and I was like, who the fuck is this bald guy?
People would watch it. And obviously it starts with Bugatti and people are like, no, like, what the hell? And listen to him talk and then they're hooked. And so many people just ended up watching the whole video. And then...
What was the watch time on that video?
I need to check. But it's an hour long video.
I gotta know, because I saw you post a 54 minute video and I was like, what? But if you listen to it, like, there's so much chatter that, like, I understand. Like, you probably were like, bro, we can't cut that. Like,
yeah. I could have potentially cut it into like three videos, but it was like a podcast, but we were doing
a moving podcast.
Yeah. So there were scenes. There was a car scene, there was a gym scene, and then there was a boxing scene. But I was lucky. And it's hard to know. You know, there are probably some people out there, not necessarily like him, but have that same kind of charisma, or they're just waiting to pop off.
Yeah.
So if you can find them first and do something with them, then, you know, like, you're almost the trendsetter in a way. Yeah.
I mean, like, I think the first person to do a specific video is the one that's going to get the most views if it's a good video.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a shit video, it's not going to get views regardless. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a terrible thumbnail. But, like, I think that's why it's, like, important to try to be ahead so you are the first, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you were ahead of everybody. You were literally, like, 3 months ahead, like I just said. Mm-hmm. And you posted a video and collabed with him. And now it has, like, 5 million, 4 million whatever views. And the amount of clips that got made out of that, like, it's like you were a genius there. You know, you saw that guy, you were like, all right, screw it, I'm going to make a video of him. Like, if it does well, it does well. And then boom. So it's like trying to find those trends and, like, predict them. It's really difficult. But coming up with, like, a new idea that's never been done and being the first is, like, it's so much more rewarding. Like, I did the fat suit and I'm very happy with the story that we got out of it. But in my head, I'm not like, wow, that was so creative.
Yeah.
I'm just like, the story was beautiful. It motivated people. I literally got DMs of people saying how they're overweight and they struggle and now they want to go to the gym. And I'm like, story complete, mission complete. Am I happy that I did a fat suit video? I mean, like, no, I'm happy with the outcome. Yeah. You know?
But I watched it and it is definitely by far the best one out there.
Thank you.
You did it properly. Like, the commitment.
Bro.
Just to get in the makeup and all the fat attached to the face.
I got
to
explain. You already know this.
If anyone who's watching this, they have to watch that video. Yes.
And thank you for that. That means a lot to me because I'm trying. I want everyone to respond like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that video twice. Fucking cost me well over $6,000. It probprobably cost me like $7,000 to $8,000 to make happen. Nope, let's go to $9,000. Mm-hmm. $9,000 because of like editing and filmers and like logistics and stuff. So... $9,000 video. I do it once with one makeup artist who I thought could do it. And nothing against her. It's just, it's so difficult to do. And if you don't have the perfect materials, it doesn't work. Like, it will fall off your face. And we did it. And it was cracking and looked terrible. And it's just like, nope. Mm-hmm. I literally flew her out. Everything. Hotel for 3 nights. Like, this was a whole project. Had my cameraman come down from New Jersey. Like, this was a whole set. And I go to do it. And I'm like, yeah, we got to take it off. Like, I sat in makeup for 7 hours.
Oh.
Fucking everyone sat there for 7 hours. And I just was like, I'm not doing it. Like, this is a video that's going to have great purpose. I don't want to be the guy that, what the fuck is on your face, man?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, they can't, if they can't take it serious and get the message across, like, I already had like the whole video planned of what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but so I'm honestly glad that it failed, because the way it went perfect. But so I was like, fuck. Start over, ground zero. And the woman like flies out the next day, blah, blah, wasted basically a few thousand dollars just for nothing. And time, a lot of time. And then so I schedule it again. I have to do a ton of research. A woman that's done it before, she does stuff for like David Dobrik's Vlog Squad and Jason Nash, does all of his stuff. We found her, hit her up. I was like, listen, I don't care how much it is. Just come. Charge me reasonably, I hope. But like, whatever it is, I have to do this video. It's just like it ate at me for like 2 months to make this video because I knew the story we'd get from it. So finally happens, make it. Joey edits it. Beautiful video. Amazing storyline. Everything comes to fruition. I definitely won't make money on the video, but it was worth it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that like I changed so many lives with that video. It's like fucking the price doesn't matter, you know? And that's like and then it's fulfilling to me because I'm finally I'm completing those story-based videos that I'm like passionate towards. And I'm like, don't care that I wasted money. I'll make probably half of it back, but like the other half, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's in the past.
So speaking of money, at what point did it take for you to be able to make a living from the ad revenue? Because am I right in thinking that this was your main, was it your main source of income, or did you have
for a long time? It still is my 50% or more.
Yeah.
Probably more now.
Yeah.
Which is like, I like, but I also like kind of hate that it is, because I'm like,
it's a risky one.
It's risky. It's like stocks, bro. Mm-hmm. Like if YouTube's just like, we're not doing ads anymore. It's like, I'm fucked. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not fucked, but like videos will be harder to make.
Yeah.
At 50,000 subscribers, I was getting about 1 million views a month. Cause I was making like those Matt Does Fitness style ones, because those like, they'll just continue forever. And I was doing that and I made about, like 60K a year-ish, 60 to 70K. And I remember being like, holy shit. Like when I first, a little bit before 50,000 subscribers, I was making like a teacher salary, like 40, 50K. And I was like, okay, so it's a job.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, my parents, I was like, hey guys, like mom, dad, I have a job.
Yeah.
I did it on my own.
Leave me alone.
please help me make this happen. And then once I hit like the $6,000, cause like for every, million views is like roughly, you know, $6,000, hopefully, sometimes less, sometimes more. It averages out to like six. And then I started getting sponsors, you know, $500 a month. I didn't know what to sign for. I was mm-hmm. like, sure, $500 is fine. And then I did so well, they literally were like, we're actually going to pay you more because you're doing so well. And I was like, oh, you can make like a lot of like more money? What the? That's crazy. Yeah. So then I had like Transparent Labs and Rise by Mark Fit. And I did that for a while. And just slowly built that. And then over time, YouTube just kind of took over as a main source. Workout plans for a while were like second or third.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I kind of outgrew like just like that little more like bodybuilding niche that I was like in the beginning, then like fitness plans kind of like fell mm-hmm. down. They like remain the same, you know, like a few K here and there.
I think if you really want to push them, you have to be putting out a lot of fitness focused content.
When I competed, they like fucking flew off the shelves.
Yeah.
But like, I don't feel like competing again right now. So like, just to sell plans, I'm good.
Yeah.
But
so you have, there's the ad revenue, there's fitness plans.
Mm-hmm.
You have any sponsors?
Two sponsors, Young LA and Gorilla Mind.
Yeah.
And they pay both individually.
So and then cool. You have your own merch.
Merch every like few months I'll do, mm-hmm. like Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so interesting.
Brand deals too.
It's so interesting because you're still so young at 22. And if you keep working at this rate and the growth continues, like you will be making some serious money later down the line.
Yeah.
But I'm sure at some point an idea will come and you'll think, okay, I want to release this, my own product. There's going to be something. You probably don't know what it is yet.
I don't know what it is, but one day
and you don't need to necessarily rush it. I would just focus on just keep continuing to grow the channel and grow the loyalty. Because at the end of the day, you know, now you're about to hit 2 mil.
Yeah.
If you're growing at the same rate, that's like at least 1 mil a year. Imagine you get to the point where you've got 5 million subscribers, loyal subscribers.
Yeah.
Whatever you release, there's a certain percentage of them who are going to buy that. Yeah. And that's serious though.
Dude, it's nuts.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, for you, how much does money like motivate you or like make you happy?
I think I realized when the YouTube channel took off and my fitness plans were selling really well, I was probably making about 50K a month and it didn't even feel like a huge amount of work. And I think at that point, any more on top of that wouldn't really have made a difference.
Yep.
Because it got to the point where I could eat anywhere I wanted to eat. I could travel anywhere I wanted to travel. I could stay at nice hotels. I got myself a nice car. Like I had a very comfortable lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's at that point, there wasn't much motivation to earn more than that because I was already happy. Yeah. Like having a fancier car or staying at even more luxurious places or buying like these ridiculous luxury items, it didn't really interest me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to maintain this nice balance I had where I was working, I was growing, but I had so much free time. So I had this lovely opportunity where I could wake up every day and I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to do what I want to do today. And I had a good few years of doing that, like traveling, enjoying life, meeting people. But I think now the motivation has switched up a little bit. Now I'm a little bit more money motivated.
Okay.
Because I'm bringing on more staff to help me to grow and basically to do the things I don't really want to be doing. Yeah. So the staff needs to be paid.
Yep.
And then I'm looking at potentially buying a house. Okay. So when you want to buy a house, it's like, okay, you're going to, the more money you have, you know, the nicer house. Yeah. I want a nice house.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, with like the businesses I want to start and the current ones I have, particularly with the clothing. Clothing business eats quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you want that to grow, you have to pump quite a bit of money into that.
I believe it.
So you just, to have that, to have more money, it's going to allow me to grow and to go to that next level.
Yeah.
Because I could very easily keep earning the same amount of money and maintain my lifestyle and do what I'm doing. But to see progress and to go in the direction I want to go, I need to start earning more money, but not to spend on myself, to be spending elsewhere. That's what people don't understand. They're like, oh, well, you're just being very selfish and you're going to, you know, you just want to level up your lifestyle. And I'm like, well, no, not really, because that's not going to make me happier.
Yeah.
But I need it to pay for all these other things which I've got going on. Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. Once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more, or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, but you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
That's similar to me, where I'm not like attached to money for myself, really. Like, you know, I'll get like maybe a nice pair of shoes over here and there. I honestly buy my girlfriend nicer shit than I buy myself. Like, I don't like, this watch is like a brand deal. Like, I got it for free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to making more money and like why I do brand deals, like when I get the ad in the middle of the video, you know, like this video is sponsored by blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like those are literally to just cover cost, to keep peace of mind of shoveling more money into the channel, you know?
Yeah.
So like if I get X amount of dollars from a brand, I'm like, I don't even feel bad about going to Dubai and spending all this money to make cool videos. Like, it's not easy to make a really crazy video and set it all up. I have employees to pay. I want to pay them better as well because I want them to be around for a long time. So as I bring in more and more revenue, it's like the amount of money that I am keeping probably remains the same. Like, I spent a fuck ton of money on making videos. Like, literally, I think I spent like $40,000 last month on videos.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just my fucking credit card on making the video. And then those employees too. So it was like, I spent so much money last month. Ever since like July, I want to not have to think about the spending of the video because it'll just produce the best video, you know? Like I told you, I just spent fucking $9,000 on a Fatsu video.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, it's going to do amazing and stuff, but like $9,000 is so much money, especially for a 11-minute video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? But it's like, I understand that, like, don't blow your load on, you know, crazy stuff. Like, I drive a Subaru right now. Like, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I crashed it. So like, it's probably why I shouldn't have a nice car. And I live in like a little, I live in a nice apartment, but I live in like a apartment where they park all the cars in the garage. So I was like, I'm not going to get a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like utilizing the money in the right places and still living that. Like, I'd rather buy something for experience, you know, like if it's going to cost me $10,000 to come to Dubai and do all these fun things, like that's worth my money. But buying a $10,000 watch, I'm like, meh, I don't even wear this half the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think people, they will gradually start to hate a little bit when they see
you. They fucking are, man. So like, oh, it's kind of frustrating because I think they like, it's like obvious. If you're a big YouTuber, you make a lot of money, period. Mm. It's like, no duh. But I'm still a humble dude. I'm still with my roots. The only thing expense I own are my shoes and buying my girlfriend like a bracelet. Mm-hmm. That was like 10K or something. But those are, and I mean, I bought my dad a motorcycle. I paid for like half of my sister's new car because hers got fucking stolen and stuff. So it's like, I'm putting money in other people's like pockets or giving them like, you know, gifts or whatever, because I love them and I care for them. That's why I want to make more money, take care of everybody I love. I have it written on a fucking whiteboard at my apartment. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my like daily affirmations, like make it fucking be successful so you could take care of everyone you care about. No one has to have to worry in my family. And then, but you see people like, they'll hate on something like people don't realize this. So like one of my editors, not a cameraman, he's an editor in Vegas. He got his camera stolen. It's a few $1,000 camera stolen. Fucking sucks. And I, on not on public, you know, like helped him. And also like I'm not gonna just blatantly tell people, hey, by the way, I'm giving him like more work this week and paying him more and giving him a raise and blah blah blah. Like I'm not gonna publicly talk about this, but I reposted his GoFundMe. So I was like, cool, maybe someone will donate something. Like our owner of Young LA donated $1,000. And I was like, fuck yeah, awesome. But like, he's not my cameraman. He's my editor. If his computer got stolen, I would buy him a new computer because I need my videos done immediately. Like there, boom, here's the money for the computer. Go buy that now. We need to keep going. Yeah. There's no stopping. But people fucking hate it on me because they're like, why don't you buy him a new camera? And I'm like, he's not my cameraman. Like if it was Joey, I'd buy him a fucking camera because we need to film. I have enough cameras. He wouldn't even need it. But like, don't go losing your camera though. But like, you know what I mean? Like if it's urgent and that's your role, like, yeah, I'll fucking do it. But they're like, I thought you got money, bro. This is so out of character of you. And I'm like, oh, so you don't realize I'm like, oh, you want me to publicly say what I gave him a raise to? You want me to publicly tell you what I fucking gave him money this week? And it aggravates me because it's like there's like, someone will reach out for a GoFundMe and it's like an awesome thing that I want to repost. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't repost this because people will rip me apart.
Yeah.
Because they think that I need to put out 50K to this person. I'm like, dude, like Kylie Jenner donated, I think like 5K to some like charity and got ripped apart. And I get it.
Because it was like only 5K.
Yeah. They're like, really? Only 5K? I'm like, she doesn't even know this person.
Yeah.
Like, is she, all right, why are we not yelling at her for not solving world hunger then?
Yeah.
You know, give us all your money. I'm sorry, but that's how the world works. You have to work for your money and like when you have the money that you've worked for, you're going to give it to people you know and you love and you want to help, you know?
Well, like the problem is as well, if you are very public about giving money away to a charity, then everybody else starts
reaching out to you. They'll start hitting you up for money too. So it's like, you got to be so fucking...
And it's like, well, why are you not helping me out? Why are you giving money to this person?
Exactly. And it's just like, I think it's the people that are just angry of other success. You know, like they're just pissed off that I'm doing well and they're just unhappy.
Yeah.
And they're gonna hate on me because they're like, fuck that, man. Why not, maybe I should make a GoFundMe and fucking ask for money. Like, I'm like, bro.
Yeah, I think especially when you're doing well and you're on top, people want to see you fall.
They do,
man.
A lot
of people want to see you fall.
And it's like this shift recently. Like it's very recent that I've been seeing, like you said, oh, you're gonna start getting hate. Like it just started, like about this stuff where, and I'm good. I don't even read my comments like that. You know, I only comment for the first 30 minutes of my videos because it's positive, you know? And then after that, I'm like not looking.
Yeah.
But it's like there was like a wave of this like these new people or something. They just want to hate because I'm doing so well. It's like there's a disconnect. Like before I was the humble Jesse that was chasing a million and wanted these goals and I was, you know, I just moved to LA and I have aspirations. And then now I'm too comfortable. Now I'm too comfortable that I'm living in Maryland and making good money. Like, bro.
It was just saying, people still, they talk about me and they're like, oh, I miss the old Mike, the old humble Mike when he was in like his, you know, scruffy little kitchen doing meal prep with like no money. And I'm like, yeah, that was me at a certain point in time, but
you gotta be happy too about it. You know, it's not fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to be like people will take any complaints from an influencer and be like, ugh, they're so whiny. And like, they're just going to complain about their hardship. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fucking come work for me right now. Mm-hmm. Stand next to me for the next week.
Yeah.
You can't even make it.
Yeah.
I don't sleep, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't keep up with your work rate, man. It's crazy.
Because you want it.
What is the video that you got the most negative backlash from?
Do you know? What did we get the most backlash from? Fuck, that's a really tough question.
Mm. I guess if you can't think, then there probably hasn't
kind of
really.
A good thing.
Yeah.
My only thought is they hate on my girlfriend, right? Yeah. The most thing we see is they hate on my girlfriend. Because she's like an introvert and very calm and doesn't like filming.
Yes, yeah, so she keeps, and especially compared
and
to someone
to
like
me,
you, yeah,
it makes her look more introverted.
Yeah.
And as if she doesn't like me, they're like, she doesn't love him.
I felt like that yesterday,
bro. And people might be like, why does Mike not like Jesse? But like, that's not the fucking case.
Yeah,
I'm like, you don't see us off camera. Like, we literally are inseparable, basically live together and like do everything together because we're happy and like we're in love and everything. And it's like, they comment and they're like, bro, getting such bad vibes from this girl, man. And I'm like, she hates filming. I'm making her film this, like, because I need content. Like, that's literally, like, that's why I'm like trying to not have her in it, because like, I know she doesn't want to do it. She barely, like, she enjoys her at home fall. Let's try some coffee vlogs. Like, hey guys, these are my cats. Okay, thanks for watching. Like, super fucking chill. And her audience loves that. My audience is like, fucking go, crazy and stuff. And like, I'm shifting them to like cooler stuff, like storytelling. But
I've always been very careful with, if I'm in a relationship or I'm seeing someone, most of the time I keep them out of the videos because people are so judgmental.
I know.
And they're a lot of the time they'll have something negative to say.
It's
and
so
they're,
rude,
they're
man.
Not, because they're just naturally quite curious. So they'll be like, oh, I'm in Mike's video. Let me go and watch it. And then they go to the comment section.
And
they're like,
yeah. And they're like, what?
They're really sort of hurt by these comments which people have made.
Yeah.
So I would even, if they're in a video, I'll say some, just don't read the comments.
Yeah.
I keep them out of the video. Like, I'd rather. I'm very public about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to kind of keep this to myself. Keep this quiet.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And like, one thing that even me and Claudia have talked about, my girlfriend, we've talked about, like, always be like, hey, when the views go down, just have a kid and we'll have a family channel. And she's just, and she is like, she's not about it actually. And I'm glad she is, because I honestly, maybe there'll be some family content, but honestly, I'll probably like just let her post that. Like, I don't need it. And also one thing that we both don't really like is like having your kid, like, there's like a lot of these family channels where the kid is like the clickbait and they're like, little Johnny tries to eat 10,000 calories. And I'm not talking about Matt's fitness. I'm not throwing shade at him either. Yeah. He has his kid like in some of the, like, they're like, it's about him, you know, the kid is just a part of the video where it's like, hey, it's Lucas, right?
Luca.
And they're like, oh, today I'm going to be trying his diet. Like, that's like super, it's not safe, but it's like innocent, super innocent. But then there's like a clickbait of the kid being like, you know, he's like reaching out, looks like he's like lit on fire. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this kid doesn't even have say like of doing this or not. You know,
I think, because I remember speaking to Matt just after he'd had Luca, and he was really against that. He didn't want to put his kid.
I don't get that vibe from him.
But I think it's inevitable. If you're going to be doing vlogs and you're going to be sharing your life, like, of course you're going to have to share that you've got a kid.
Yeah.
And exactly. The way he did it was really good, because his son wasn't the main part of the video.
Exactly.
They just did these skits, an intro.
Yeah,
like,
no, they're hilarious.
Nobody else
though.
Was doing that, I don't think. Yeah. He was the first to do that. And every introduction to a video, he'd have a skit with his son.
Those,
and it was so good.
I love them. Those were adorable.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. They were fun. I remember like he got fired from Gymshark.
Yeah.
And it was this kid that got hired. Like that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's super innocent, and it's not like exploiting his kid. You know what I mean? It's not something that his kid's gonna look back on and go, Dad, why the fuck did you make me do this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's one thing that Claudia is like all about. She's like, one day if we're together and we have kids, like, they can be like a part of the video, like, oh, I'm going shopping like with my daughter or son or whatever. But like, it's not gonna be like giving my son $1,000 to go spend, and it's like a kid vlog. Like, until a kid wants to be a vlogger, then they'll do that. But like, you know, because especially like growing up, kids get made fun of, their, you know, their school could be hard on them, blah, blah, blah. It could be tough, but how do we, oh, will you ever have kids, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Little tiny Mikeys?
Yeah. Okay. I was speaking to James about this. I don't know when, and obviously I don't want it to be too late.
Yeah.
But I would definitely, I can't just have one because I had a brother, and having a brother was the best thing ever. Yeah. Like it was amazing. So I would definitely need to have at least two, maybe three.
Yeah.
But I know my life is going to change quite drastically when that happens.
Yeah, it
will. So, you know, I think it would just be very selfish of me to not have kids.
Yeah.
And I think, especially with me, I want to experience everything. And I think having children is a huge part of the whole life experience.
Yeah.
To have a little me, whether it's a little boy or a little girl, I think that would be crazy.
They're gonna be shredded. They come out of the womb just like vascular, like, no. Sup, dude.
I know. I would really think it's important for me to raise a child properly. Like, it's a big responsibility. So it's something which I would want to do properly, and I would actually look forward to doing.
Yeah.
I think it'd be class.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm gonna be a sick dad.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a fun dad.
Yeah.
You take him clubbing, you take him to the pool parties.
If I have a little boy, like I'll be make him do everything that I did.
Yeah. He's like, son, here are your little thirst shorts.
Yeah.
Put on your sunnies and let's get our spray tans.
That'll be class. But I mean, obviously I wanted to have kids with the right person.
Yeah.
I guess there is no right time, but there's right now I'm in an amazing position because I have I have responsibilities, but not like family responsibilities. So I can be very selfish. And I just want to focus on my career and my work for the next couple of years so that I can be in a position where I'm earning good money and I still have quite a lot of free time because I would like to spend that time with my kids.
That's how I would want my life automated when I have kids. Like if I'm still YouTubing, like everything's automated. I show up, I do it. I decide on maybe the topics or I fucking hire everyone to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I approve the video and that's it.
How have you found your YouTube lifestyle in a relationship versus being single? Because we were speaking yesterday, your current partner is very supportive and she's very chill. Like she will let you just go wild, do what you need to do, and even like interview girls or even use girls as a thumbnail.
Yep.
And she's completely cool with that.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, she's really good. And obviously I make sure I'm doing things in respect and not being like a douche or like a fuckboy. You know, like she knows the reason I'm doing it is for work, which is awesome. And she's so supportive. And that's something that I like set from the beginning. I was like, are you cool with me interviewing girls? And she's like, yeah, I don't mind it. And I was like, cool. Cause I wasn't going to stop. Like it was either like, I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go with you that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so she's really been supportive and she'll make jokes and I'll be like, I got a great thumbnail. And she's like, did she have huge boobs? And I'm like, hell yeah. and she's like, great job, babe. And she knows then I'm coming home and I'm going to be with her for 5 days. And if I got that video, like it's one less thing I have to do so I can hang out with her longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I do my business, boom, go live my life with her. And it's been really great. But I think she gets it because her whole family does YouTube. Her sister, her mom, her dad, her brother, and they're all good at it. They're all successful. And they know, like, they understand, hot girl gets views, period. Like, we know this. It's just like A plus B equals C. And she knows, and she's watched me go and film these interviews before. Like, literally on Miami, we were like, oh, it was raining for the whole weekend. And I was like, fuck, I haven't filmed anything. Like, it ruined the whole trip. And she was down there. And it's like me, Joey, my cameraman, and Claudia were laying there. Sun comes out. We're like, bro, grab the camera. Babe, I'll be right back. And we just start interviewing.
Yeah.
Video did great. Got like a million views and stuff. Like just interviewing a ton for like 45 minutes. Finished the video, came back. She was watching. She was reading a book, laughing, watching from a distance. Because she just sees me like making jokes to people. I mean, it's not like I'm touching up or getting touched. Like I'm real good at dodging hands at this point. Like they go to reach and I'm like, oh, don't touch the talent. Like, let's keep our hands to ourselves. You know, like I'm like, don't touch me. Like even if I was single, I like maybe for the video, I'd be like, oh, okay. Feel free to touch the abs. But like, I'm gonna be like, yo, chill. But comparing it to a single life, like that's how my relationship is. Super healthy, super good.
You've been with her for a year.
Been with her for over a year, a year and a quarter.
Yeah.
And you know, I filmed a ton of fucking videos where girls are in bikinis. Like it doesn't matter, you know, like, cause I'm not looking at it that way. And she knows how serious I am with like business and YouTube. And then, but when I was single, honestly, I think I worked more, but it was unhealthier. of work, you know, like I had more time, and it was still sort of COVID days where, you know, it was harder to meet girls because I'm in LA, super, super shut down place. And, you know, no clubs are open. Only literally Zoo Culture Gym was open. So like maybe I'd meet a girl there, or I'd meet girls on the beach interviewing them and like be like, can I actually get your number? Like that was my way of like meeting girls, like literally during a video. And, but I would work way more because obviously I was hungry in a different way. Like it was like, now I'm like strategic too, but before it was just like, just go, just do work every day till midnight, wake up at fucking 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and repeat every single day. But it led me like, I was digging my fucking grave. Like I knew I was like put in the 6 months and then like, let's get out of here and be normal. Mm-hmm. And it timed perfect meeting my girlfriend. Like I did my 6 months. I had my little hoe phase, you know, like got it out of my system and like had my fun, which I'm glad I did. If I didn't, I'd be like, oh, what is it like being like fucking, you know, a total baller and stuff. Like I had my fun. I hooked up with a bunch of girls. Like I'm not like flexing, but like got it out of my system. I think everyone should. Guys and girls, I think everyone should get it out of their system of until they find the right person and naturally let it happen. Don't be like, I'm going to go fuck a million people. Like, you know, just go have fun. That's what life's about. Mm-hmm. Do your thing. And then, you know, I fell upon my girlfriend and things worked out perfect and it led me down that way. And life didn't change too much besides my work-life balance and being happier to where like—
You had downtime.
Yeah, like I can chill now. Like, cause if I wasn't dating my girlfriend, like let's say hypothetically I was single right now, I probably would work more because when I have free time, what the fuck would I do?
You don't seem like the type of person that would just like go down to the beach and lie on a sunbed all day.
I can't, bro. It's so hard. Like I think when I'm like burnt out, I can, cause I'm like, oh, I'm fucking shot. I'm laying down, but it like takes me to literally like a week of doing stuff to be burnt out. And then I'm ready to chill. But now it's like, you know, I make sure I time my work to where I basically do the same thing every single day. I go to Claudia's at like 7 PM, sleep over, stay till 10 AM, go work from like 10 to noon. Then I go to the gym for like 2 hours, like driving there and stuff. Then I work again from like 2:30 to like 7, and I have like 2 blocks to work. I work until I manage. Maybe I'll go film a, you know, something, and then repeat. You know, it's
so you'll do that every day, and then maybe you'll, when you feel a bit burnt out, you have a couple days off.
Yeah, then once I'm like burnt out, I'm like, babe, can we just do nothing tomorrow? Like literally nothing. Like not even work out, just eat food in bed, and then we do that. It's fucking sick. I get my free time more. Where in the past, I would just, you know, instead of going to Claudia's at 7 and leaving it in the morning, I would just work till midnight. Yeah. I was like, I got nothing else to do. My mind is racing, so I might as well just work. And it was just like this super, it's like a toxic thing that I did, but it, like I kind of had to.
Did you
know?
You feel that when you were doing that, your sleep was worse?
Yeah. Before I would say, I don't sleep. Mm-hmm. Like I literally don't sleep. I sleep 5 hours a night and like kick the shit out of my body. But now I'm at like during this week's crazy. So it's like 6 hours of sleep, 7 hours of sleep. If I'm lucky, he falls asleep and get like 10. but I hate
those people.
I'm like up till like midnight and then like waking up at 7 here and stuff or like 1. And then it's also time change. But like when I'm back home, I get my 8 hours, I get my 10 hours because I'm more creative when I'm rested. In the past, I didn't value that. And now I like really value like recovery.
Your mind works differently.
Dude, it's like you're sharp. You're like, and I noticed that in the morning, I'm trying to structure my days to where I'm making my harder decisions in the morning because I've made less decisions.
Yeah.
So by like evening, if I need to like, so like things that are tough decisions for me are what's the title, what's the thumbnail, and reviewing a video. Cause those are like, I need to make good decisions on that. So I'm not telling the editor to ruin the video. Cause if I'm like, hey, cut this whole scene and I'm exhausted, the next day I might watch it and be like, fuck, why'd I say that? Like, so I like to do those things in the morning. I like to do the stuff that takes a lot of brain power in the morning. And then the stuff that's like just monotonous and just like bullshit, get that all done in the evening. Cause it's like, just get it done, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why like even working out, like I don't need to think about working out. So that's why I work out after I do, the like thinking part of the day. So it's like, that's why it's like optimizing your day, you know? So that's why I think it's like really important.
I would love to know. I'm just like looking at you now and what you're doing and what you're achieving and the amount of work you're doing. I would love to know what you're going to be like at the age of 32.
Bro, who the
like
fuck
what you'll, who you'll be, what you'll be doing.
Yeah.
Because that's how old I am. Like, yeah. we're pretty much 10 years apart.
So crazy. You look young, dude.
Thank you. I think I look after myself, and I get to the point where I don't allow my lifestyle to get too stressful.
Yeah.
If anything starts to become too stressful, I'm not enjoying it. Usually, I either stop doing it.
Yep.
Or I'm like, oh, maybe I can just pay someone to do this.
Literally, that's how, that's kind of why in LA when I was doing that, like, grind season was I was doing everything. Mm-hmm. I was editing a little bit, but, like, my cameraman really didn't direct. You know, like, I told him every shot to get. Like, I was like, move here, do mm-hmm. a few reps. And I would, like, my workouts fucking were so weird. I would do, like, 3 reps and be like, all right, move there. 3 reps, move there. Boom. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, all right, next exercise. And, like, through everything. So I was, like, very, like, so much just, like, thinking had to go into the every day and work so much, but got through it, got where I am, and bam.
Yeah, absolutely smashing it. I think, speaking of that, we're going to do a workout now, aren't we?
Let's smash that.
And we're going to end this podcast with the final piece of advice for people who are thinking about getting started. What would you say to them?
Stay with that last piece. No, I'm kidding. I would say that the first step of doing anything is trying to find a way to truly believe it. And, like, even if you have to almost, like, hypnotize yourself in a way, not, like, literally go to a hypnosis, but fucking write it on a piece of paper a million times till you literally believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, write it on a wall and read it out loud until you're, like, you know, it's probably possible. Like, it's probably possible. And if that goal's too big and you still do not believe it, find a middle ground to believe that. Like, find something that's on the path to your success that you do believe and you truly know that you're going to get there. And you should be thinking about that every day and doing something to get there every day.
Yeah. Self-belief is if you're going to go off and do your own thing, self-belief is essential.
It's literally why I am where I am. Like, I tell people, like, if people say, would you believe, like, if you went back in time and told yourself, you know, who you are today, would you believe it? And I'd say, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I knew I was going to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just didn't know when.
Nice one. So everyone, go check out Jesse James West, YouTube, Instagram, anything else.
Stay relentless. Sorry, it's all I know how to say.
Sweet. Wicked.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice.
That was killer.